Crisis Core Final Fantasy VII reunion is over. It's over. It's actually over. We're finished. We're done. But we're also just getting started here on Post Show Recaps. To silent cheers from my co-host, I am Brooklyn Zed here with Adam H, who is, I think it's not a spoiler to say, happy to be done with the game.
Zed, grunts. Fronts again. A hero?
You are a hero, Adam. we all could be heroes, just for one day.
Just for one day. Today is the day. Today is my one day of being a hero.
Today's okay. The day.
Oh no! I should probably schedule more things for today if I'm gonna be a hero. Right now, my schedule's a little light, so really got to get on that. It's over. It's over. It's done.
You did it.
Yeah. I you know, I'll be very upfront about this game and about this particular chapter. We'll definitely talk through it. I'll open with a couple positives, because I do think that I don't want to try to be down all the time. I'm going to open with a couple positives. The first positive is that I think that this podcast is going to be fun. That is my first positive of the chapter. I think that this podcast is going to be fun. I have a couple surprises for you, Zed. I have a couple, prediction questions / like, how do you think I did, or what do you think I did this chapter? As well as some potentially impressive news that maybe will make you proud of me, but also might make you realize that I'm actually a big dumb idiot, or a big dumb apple, if you will. And so there's a lot of that. The other good thing that I will say is we got to see Rude again, and that's just always a good situation. Zed had to remind me of that before the podcast, that is a positive thing for this chapter, and I just want to say that. Okay, those are the positives. The negatives, I still don't understand what is going on or why it is going on, okay? The part that I do understand, all of the Shinra stuff, the attacking and the final combat sequences with Shinra, that made sense to me, partially because like we've seen some of that before. Like, that wasn't new content. We got to experience it in a new way. We'll talk about that later. But I understood that. Every single thing involving Genesis, even with the resolution, I did not understand. And I mean this in the best of ways, okay? I'm kind of an idiot. Like, I will admit that. I will fully admit that my ability to comprehend things in video game format when I'm trying to take notes and, like, think about takes of the podcast is not amazing, right? Like, that is not a skill that I am particularly incredible at when the story is complex. But I genuinely do not believe that, like, this was an accessible story to fully comprehend. And you know, whatever, to the credit of those of you who do, well done. I'm proud of you. Congratulations. You're amazing people. I really, like, that's really something to be proud of, because I did not understand the Genesis stuff. We were talking clones the entire game, and now at the end, where there's no clones, instead we're fighting a big Genesis dinosaur, and it's got a big cape. And I have no idea. I just have no idea what's going on here. We killed Genesis like thrice, and he's still alive, just living there. And then I don't know. All of the Genesis stuff not only did not work for me throughout most of the game, but also I didn't understand it.
Did not stick the landing for you.
Not at all. I don't. Am I way off here, Zed? Like, I really. I don't know. I was expecting like maybe another final fight with Genesis, just Genesis, and then I don't know. And
just,
I mean,
Genesis.
We got that, but then Genesis is still alive. Like, and I honestly, I thought the whole time that he might have just been secretly dead, and we've just been fighting a bunch of clones. Turns out Genesis is like the only one who lives this chapter, basically. After we kill him like three times, so I don't know. I didn't understand that. I also want to ask you, Zed, right at the very beginning, I'll reveal this later. I want to know your guess at how many hours, like the time that it took me to complete the game.
And I was going to ask you that, yeah.
And the percentage of missions that I successfully finished. I have both numbers ready. I'll reveal them later, but I just want you to, like, you know, put in some kind of prediction here, you know, over under where you think these numbers are going to be. Maybe relative to your own numbers, or you know, probably less on both accounts than your own numbers.
Certainly.
I would hope.
Definitively, it is impossible that you played this game for anywhere near as many hours as I did. If you are even at half, I would be shocked.
What's your hour count?
Okay, so I just looked. I've had my playthrough pulled up this morning to try and refresh my mind a little bit because I did finish this a while ago at this point, and it is complicated. And right here at the end of the playthrough, 48 hours and 28 minutes was my total time after all of the cutscenes and credits had finished rolling and the game is marked as cleared. Yeah. 48 and a half hours total runtime.
That's if you started playing right now and did not finish playing until the end of the weekend.
Yeah.
That's a lot of days.
And some of that, and that's a little bit under because when you do the fighting the robots, if you mess up and need to start over, you have to reload your save. There's no way to restart that game.
When you say fighting the robots,
the ones with the sniper rifle.
Yes. The ones
So if any of them escape, and if you're going for the trophy, which is none of them escape, you have to reload your game every time you mess up.
Okay, so you're over 48 hours.
I'm probably over 50 hours.
Over 50 hours. And what do you think my number is for hours played?
I'll tell you
right now, it's under 50.
Yeah, no, it's under 30. I'm deciding how much under 30 because I'm going to estimate. Well, yeah, okay. So I'm going to say 25.
25. Okay. I'm going to let you change this one time throughout the podcast once I reveal a key piece of information.
okay. I'm going to say before this week, it was probably closer to like 18. I don't think you played 7 hours this week. I'm being pretty generous in my estimate.
I certainly did not have 7 hours to play this week.
No, I know. You don't have 7 hours to play any week. But no. I do think that this week in particular probably beefed up your playtime disproportionately compared to previous weeks.
Okay. And then percentage of missions accomplished.
Okay. Percentage of missions accomplished. Are you willing to remind me where we were at last week?
If I remembered where we were last.
Had you hit 10% last week?
I believe I had hit 10% because I got whatever that second reward was. I couldn't tell you what it was, but I got the second one.
Okay. In that case, and I know from your messages that you struggled with these final boss fights, so I'm going to guess that because you're sitting at a save point, you did some more missions because you needed to do some more missions. Let's see, 20%.
Okay. Good.
That might go up.
Interesting. Yeah. We'll see where we go here. Okay. Are we ready to actually get into this chapter?
Let's do it. Let's talk about it.
All right. So we are back to Benora. The Benora ruins. Is it the same place where the dumb apples were? Which I, you know,
Benora dumb apples. Yes,
Benora dumb apples. We know the Genesis is a huge dumb apple guy. We get over there, and Lazard is still with us. Now, again, I will just say I kind of thought Lazard was dead, but that was like a fake out, and now Lazard is here. I think part of my problem is that Lazard and Jill have like the same look but just different colored hair. Like if you were to put the white hair on Angeal, I'd be like, well, that's Lazard.
And Angeal, Lazard, and Genesis all look the same.
Yeah, just like the different hair, and the, you know, we got right white, red, and black, and so I like, you just exchange hairs, and so sometimes I get confused on who is who, even though like I literally just said that they are distinguishable by their hair. I still get confused at who is who. Anyway, Lazard is going to take care of Cloud. That's the Lazard. He's got Cloud. Cloud is really injured, basically helpless, kind of worthless all the time. And Lazard is going to take care of Cloud. Great. We get kind of in and we start to see a couple cutscenes specifically of Genesis. And this is where we find out that Genesis is a big juice guy. He is huge on juice. He has a juice journal, said a juice journal.
Apple juice or like steroid juice?
Well, one could argue that the potency of the dumb apples is so high that it could be both. Pourquoi pas les deux? It could be both. It could be, you know, a lot of juice going on. He's got a juice journal. There we go. We're getting into the Benora runes here, and we start to run around. Basically, is really what we're doing. We're just running around and trying to find the specific type of materia. And holy materia, god materia, whatever it's called, I don't even really care.
It's like light, celestial, they all have like, yeah, you know, very grandiose words.
There's a lot of them too. There's like seven of them.
The first time I found one, I didn't even realize that this was like the mission. I was just like, oh, what can I do with this? This is exciting. And I'm like scrolling through all my materia trying to find it until somebody in the chat is like, no, Zed,
you need to. I literally did the same thing
the game later.
I got light materia and it was like holy materia or something like that. And I was like, why can I not equip this to a weapon or something? And I literally almost messaged you about it. And I was like, am I just an idiot for like having all this materia? And then it just kept going. And then obviously, you know, it's not the situation. It was also during this point, we'll talk about what kind of where we go in some of the different places, but it was during this point where I started to do a few more missions. Because, you know, mm-hmm. I was like, let's, you know.
There's
let's,
a lot of save points down here in this final final area of the game. Because we should say we're down in this, like, crystally cavern place. There's a lot of, like, geode-looking things. A lot of, shards of crystals and stuff. It's aesthetically pretty cool.
It is. Yeah, it's, you know, a little dark. I don't, you know, it didn't really make any sense to me for where we were. Like, I couldn't tell you why we're here. But I guess like I liked the place. So there you go. And I started to do missions, and I am going to talk a little bit more about the missions this chapter, because two sets of them were both infuriating and frankly disgusting. The first of which was after I completed some kind of fetch quest, some kind of kill a monster, freaking Yuffie would run out of nowhere and take the treasure and then just leave. And Zach is standing there, dumbfounded. Like, huh? How did she steal it? You're not going to get away with this.
Where's that treasure?
I don't understand how we are not able to take the treasure from the box before a little girl is able to. It makes no sense.
She's very fast.
No, she's really not, though.
And you've complained about how Zach is not fast this whole game.
Well, that's actually facts. Zach is kind of terrible when it comes to his speed and agility. It's pretty pathetic. Oh my gosh. This was a whole quest line. There were like six of them where over and over.
There's actually 12 of them.
Oh, there's more?
There's a whole second set. Yeah.
Okay, well, I only did one set of them because, I don't know, maybe I didn't see the other set or whatever, but I did a whole set of these and was like, wow, I'm doing some good stuff. Now, I will say, during this time, I did unlock more slot machine faces, so there you go. That's mm-hmm. There's a positive, I suppose. That was just so infuriating to have Yuffie take everything. And so I did some missions there. There you go. That might, you know, change the prediction when we'll get to in a second, but we keep going. We're finding... I'm finding all these chests. I have written down Depths of Judgment, which is such a dramatic, just so dramatic when it comes to...
Yeah, that's where we are. We're in the Depths of Judgment.
It is. Yeah, I mean, it is.
On the shores of Lake Oblivion.
It's really a lot. Because also there's a ton of things in Lake Oblivion. There was three in there, but I only found two and I missed the third one. And so I had to like traipse around absolutely everywhere in order to like realize that I needed to go back. There was this place, and then I think there was one other place as well, like different kind of subset that you could go off of the depths of whatever and get mm-hmm. into the place, but I don't remember the name and I didn't write it down, so might just be lost forever. And so we're in the lake. I also fight some weird things when I hit a button in the lake because they just come down and then I get nothing for it, so that was pretty cool how I just built myself some boss fights for no reason in the water there. And there we go. We're getting the different materia there. We're getting the different materia all over the place. We're finding all this different god materia. And I will say my first time through, I did not get all of them. And so I went into what I believe is called the Light of Doom, I think.
This game only deals in extremes.
Yeah, it's very, very dramatic. The Light of Doom, which opened up to, and I only know this from the, I got from the save point. I don't even remember them saying it. The Portal of Severance. Now, my one question here is, because there is an elevator off to the side, is this just a backdoor into the world of Severance? Like, is this what happens if you go down even further?
Imagine. In Lumen? Yeah.
Like, is that...
There is a section in this game that I did largely skip because there is no trophy attached to it, where if you open all of the things, I can't remember exactly what it is, but in the Lake of Oblivion, there's those kind of like little like spires of like dust motes. And if you touch all of them or you do the right thing, it unlocks a path into something else.
Oh,
full of all these cages that have like treasure chests and stuff in them, like cells, like a prison. And I wandered in there a little bit, and then everybody in the chat was like, Zed, I promise you, you don't have to do this. And you are so overleveled for the game at this point, and there's no trophy attached to it. It's just going to waste your time. And so I actually turned around and left.
Wow.
So basically, if you go through there, you get into Severance Land.
Oh, maybe. So what I'm hearing, Zed, is that you're not a completionist and don't care about completing the game fully.
If you look at the PlayStation menu, it says 100% platinum trophy, and that is all I care about.
But we both know that you skipped a part. That we won't forget that.
It's not a secret. It's published on YouTube. I'm not hiding anything.
So I put in the material that I had into this whatever dashboard podium of material holding, and they were like, well, Zach, you suck because you only had like three and you needed seven. And so I went back, I kept traipsing around. I also learned during this time that you can get out of random encounters if you simply just run away.
You didn't know that?
No, of course I didn't know that, Zed. Of course I didn't know that. How would I have known that?
It said combat mode definitely tells you that.
Yeah, well, probably. It probably does. It, 100% it does. But there's no way I know that. And so I found out because I was fighting against one of those plant stupid things that deals a bunch of damage and then basically ruins my life. And I just happened to be at the outer edge of the thing up against the purple. And I was like trying to figure out. So my C and V keys are the ones that like go between the different items that I have down at the bottom. Okay. Like it can scroll through the different items. And I was like paying attention to that and not paying attention to where I was moving. And it just kept moving me into the wall. And then I saw the little swirling,
the little like running man snake. with the yeah, loading the, circle.
Yeah.
Around
like,
it.
Hey, yeah. Do you want to get out of here? And I was like, yeah. And so,
heck yeah.
And so, yeah, I just got out of that. And then I also got
some
stupid egg fights as well. There were some weird random encounters going on around this friggin' cave of destiny of whatever. Okay, so we keep doing that. I go back. I get all the things. Great, 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 great. Good for me. Good for us. We love to see it. Let's see. Anything else that happens here before we get into the slog of boss fights that happen afterwards? I don't think so. There was nothing else like super interesting in this cave. Like you said, the aesthetics were kind of good, but besides the pool, like there was nothing that like really stood out to me as being interesting or particularly cool. And so we found all seven pieces of the materia. We put them in, and then immediately we get attacked by a giant something. Who knows what this is? Cockroach, beetle. It's a bug of, I guess, of sorts. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's something. It just pops out basically immediately, and it has so much health. Oh my god, it has so much health. I started this and could not beat it for the life of me. This was
when we were talking last night. You had not yet beat this fight.
No, I did not.
And you said, and I don't think this is the final boss fight.
No, it didn't feel like a final boss because it wasn't anything Genesis related, and or maybe it was. I don't even know. It probably was. Everything is Genesis related. If you really, I could not beat this. It just kept going too fast. It had so much movement. It had like not multi attack, but whatever it like could hit, and then I couldn't move out of the way, and it hit again. And then Zach takes a billion years to recover from one singular hit. And so once you're hit the first time, it's over, basically. And so if you don't get out of the way early, you're screwed. And so, okay, I went back to the save point after like five times trying, because I always give it a couple tries here. And I was like, okay, I'm going to pound out some missions until I, you know, get something good going on here. And then
it has to be done.
And then Zed, I had a brilliant idea. What if I try and figure out materia fusion?
What if I, at the end of the game,
what if I, right before the final boss fights, attempt to figure out materia fusion? And so I did. And figure it out would be a generous description.
It definitely takes some kind of like messing around with it to really understand it. All the credit to the folks in the chat explaining to me how to do it. It definitely took me a while of just like plugging things in and seeing what the result would be to really understand what I was doing. Over the course of like weeks, not literally, but you know, looking at it every once in a while and doing something with it, was certainly the way that I went, rather than just trying to figure it out before the final boss fight.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what I was doing. I gave it about 10-15 minutes of it. And I didn't, I'll just say, we don't need to talk about this in depth, but I didn't really understand the item component of it. It didn't, like, with one pretty major exception, I didn't really get the benefit of putting an item in. But I'll just run you through what I ended up with for my six materia slots after all of these fusions. And so I had a lightning blade, first and foremost, which was huge. Love that thing. I had cure, whatever the highest form of cure plus churaja, whatever plus
curaga,
whatever. All that going on. I had HP plus up or whatever the highest one of those is. I had AP plus whatever up whatever. I had a stop blade, which was huge. I cannot tell you how good the stop blade is.
Uh-huh.
That little thing is like everything.
These things you discovered that might have helped you earlier in the game. Maybe.
That
I don't
thing
know.
Is
Maybe.
Absolutely everything to me. And then I had vitality plus up plus or whatever. So those were the six things that I had. Now, we'll get to this in just a second, but you might notice in those six that there are no ranged magical attacks. Maybe you noticed that.
I did.
Okay, cool. I'm just making sure you notice that here right now. And then it'll maybe come into play later. I don't know. The other thing about, if that doesn't take you back to Final Fantasy VII originally, then me not having ranged attacks when we desperately need ranged attacks. Iconic moments. okay, the other thing about fusing materia, which, again, this is the final chapter of the game, so everyone who like wants to know this or already cares about this already knows, but it comes in at the like 1 out of 5 or 6 stars of completion, right? Like, it comes in not fully like developed. You have to develop mastery.
Depends on what you're fusing.
Okay, well, whenever I did it, it comes in at 0 of the stars. And so, okay, so I'm looking at this thing. I'm like, okay, well, I have 6 what I fully believe are better materia than what I was using before. There's more pluses.
Sure,
some ups, you know, things
some
like that.
Some ups, uh-huh.
And I was like, okay, well, I have to level up this materia. And so I was like, well, okay, I guess the best way to do this is in missions. And thus began probably the most demoralizing saga of my life. Because they were like, I chose a mission line that was like, I can pretty easily beat this, but it's just some grinding. And it was more grinding than I had bargained with, because we started with just 50 Shinra troops, no worries.
You did these?
50's not a big deal. Then it was like, here, take 100. okay, whatever. It's 100. Didn't take all that long. I'm leveling up all the time. My materia is progressing.
Yeah, and if you have a fire, it'll hit a bunch of a fire materia, which is a
well, if you remember what I just listed.
Yes, I was going to say, yeah. I was like, which it sounds like you did not. Because I did that with when I did those missions, I had Hell Farrago, which also has instant death. And it'll hit like 8 of them at once and they will all just in unison go, ah, and fall over. And still, let me tell you, it takes a long time.
So after the 100, they were like, here, Zach, have 200. I keep going. I'm leveling up all the time. And then they were like, well, here's 1,000.
Yeah, the jump is significant.
And I won't exaggerate because I did like clock this. It took me about 1 hour and 15 minutes to complete all 1,000. And there were multiple times in there where I hit the M key, which is like the pause button. And I was like, do you think it saves all my level up and progress if I just forfeit? Like if I just
leave? No, it sure does not.
And I did look it up. Because I had to look that up for my own sanity. And it doesn't. And so I just had to keep going. And there was a point in the 1 hour and 15 minutes where I was like looking over. I have like Brenda's messaging me about the PPP. I have other people messaging me about like stuff. You're messaging me about like, when can we record tomorrow? And I'm like, I have no effing clue.
I can't believe you did this last night.
I'm like losing my mind at this. The positive side, all of my material leveled up fully
a bajillion times. Yeah, because it takes, I will say, even when I did it, and I also accidentally X'd out of it once and had to do it again. Even with Hell Farrago wiping out entire waves of troops at once, it still took me probably 30 minutes to do it.
It's insane. I mean, you know what? The limit breaks are great because they happen all the time and they just will wipe out a whole group and it's fine. I'm just going to say, I still couldn't explain the slot machine to you or like all the different things that could happen. No, I don't know what.
It's really not worth paying attention to because you have very little influence on what it's doing.
I have very little influence, but there were two times in this 1,000-person fight where I died because they sometimes had like dynamite or bombs, or I don't even know exactly what, super grenades. I don't know which one of the ones was most dangerous, but it got me down to 1 HP immediately. And when you're fighting like 8-9 things, any one little gunshot will take you past the, you know, the realm of 1 HP. And there were multiple times where I got like a free revive or something. And I'm like pretty sure that had to do with the slot machine. I'm not 100% sure about that, but I'm pretty sure it had to do with the slot machine because I was like glowing or there was something ringing over my head. I didn't look it up because whatever, but there were like, I was probably 400 or 500 troops in and I died that first time. And I was like, I hate my life. And luckily it brought me back. So I was able to do it. So now I don't know if that influences you're guessing as to hours played or as to percentage completed, because I will remind you, as you probably well know, all 1,000 of those troops was one mission.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah, I definitely would not have put money on you doing that one. And I didn't calculate an hour plus for that single mission in my total gameplay time. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep thinking about it. Okay. I'm going to keep thinking about it. I'll give you a final answer right before you reveal the correct answer.
It's a very important little piece of information there because I feel like that changes the game quite a bit. It certainly changed it for me. And the good news is that when I went back to fight this rock lobster, Genesis lobster, I don't know what it is. I honestly have no idea what it is. I still couldn't beat it. I was like max HP. I had 9999 HP. I was rolling in MP and AP, and good stuff. And I think it was just too fast and Zach is too slow for me to avoid things. However, the ultimate redemption story here is what occurred for me to finish this battle. Because as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, when I was completing some of those Yuffie missions, I unlocked other faces in the slot machine. Meaning that, you know, in certain modes or whatever, it could unlock new limit breaks or ultimates or whatever that I could have access to that I didn't previously. And the savior of Crisis Core, the absolute savior with the greatest redemption arc ever seen, Kate Sith.
What?
The Kate Sith limit break is the only reason I was able to complete this fight. And
I'm astounded.
I was too, Zed. I was literally sitting there last night like, huh? Kate Sith, I was like invincible. I could not take any damage. I had like super high boosted attack or whatever. And it didn't matter what this stupid scorpion was doing to me, because I could just attack, and I just kept using that stop blade over and over and over again. Oh,
if you get the courage boost. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And I just wrecked it instantly. I couldn't even process what was happening, because I was so in the dumps from not being able to complete this. There was a moment last night where I was like, we're going to have to cancel the podcast, whatever. Like, I have nothing. There's no way. This isn't even the final boss. I'm screwed. And then those beautiful, beautiful eyes of Kate Sith come rolling up on the slot machine.
I don't even know why he's in this game. Like, no, it's clue. Not like it's all of the characters of anything. And they were mm-hmm. like, yeah, let's put this in here.
It's Kate Sith or bust, baby. And I, oh my God, this, the ultimate redemption story. I will never say another bad word about Kate Sith, because had it not been for Kate Sith randomly in this game, I would not have completed it. I am convinced of this.
Wild. That was the number of things that were already not on my bingo card that uh-huh. you have revealed today uh-huh. Is wild.
Yeah, I was just in shock last night. I was truly in shock. And so I beat it. Well, really, Kate Sith beat it, but I, with the help of Kate Sith, we beat it. Congratulations to us. What a huge victory that was.
Okay, so I've been poking around my playthrough as we've been talking, and I can tell you, when I finished Chapter 9, I had played the game for 27 hours.
Okay.
So then another 20-plus of those hours happened in Chapter 10.
Because, and a lot of that was just you completing the missions, right? That's...
Yeah, well, okay. You know, I would say 90% of those hours were just doing missions.
Yeah, okay.
Because also I reached Chapter 10 in Part 12 of my playthrough, and I believe my playthrough in total was 21, 22 parts. So, yeah, all the teens of my playthrough parts, just missions.
Wow, Zed, I don't even know if I want to do this, but I love a mid-pod plug too much. Where could people watch those playthroughs if they wanted to?
Boy, if you want to watch some fruitless endeavors that are an absolute waste of everyone's time, you can go to twitch.tv/hardrockhope to watch me playing live, and you can find the entire Crisis Core playthrough at youtube.com/@hardrockhope.
Okay, and if they want to watch me play through it, they can just come to my apartment where I am sad and alone and just like crying my way through Crisis Core. Okay, I also highlighted a singular quote from our good boy Zach as he entered this next kind of phase. He says, I don't understand. Oh, okay.
Same.
That is very relatable, Zach, because we get into this next kind of big room. And admittedly, this is kind of where my notes struggled throughout this battle and the next battle, because we have Genesis here, right? Genesis is there in this next room. And then we also have the life stream behind him. And Genesis is like, yeah, something moody and whatever. He probably quotes Loveless as well.
I was gonna say, yeah, it's gotta be a Loveless
something
quote.
Loveless. It's very, you know, very melodramatic. And he like puts himself into the live stream, and then we have a big fight with Big Genesis, who is
Big Genesis Energy.
Big BGE for sure. Way up there. And then he also, this is really only a reference for a few people, but he summons a bunch of things throughout this next fight that are basically just Kassadin from League of Legends. That's really all that this is, just a character there that looks basically exactly the same is all of these things he summons that have all kinds of resistances and vulnerabilities, and there's a ton of them. And so this is the next fight here. It's a very big fight. Whereas the big Genesis like puts his hand down over, there's like materia. Doesn't make any sense at all. There's materia in the hand that gets put into the skating rink that we're on, and we have to go over there and attack it. But also there's like half a dozen different little Cassidans running around that are trying to attack us. This wasn't particularly difficult, save for a few moments. Zed, I don't remember if you remember when I said earlier, I have no ranged magical damage.
I do recall that.
Interesting. Okay, so there's a couple points in this fight where there's nothing in melee, and it's just simply the big Genesis over on the side charging up an ability that's like, hey, get this bar down. And I'm like, well... guess I'm just eating this damage full on. So I made sure I just healed myself up in those moments, and it did a bunch of my HP, and then I just healed myself afterwards. Luckily, really, I guess luckily, I had done all those missions and was able to get my health all the way up to full nines, and my healing materia was like full power, and so I would always be going back up to the top every time. And so there you go. Are you going to tell me that there's more than full nines available to me in health, Zed?
That is in normal mode.
Are you sure?
Exactly what I'm going to tell you.
Wait, yeah. I had multiple. No. I don't. This seems like a scam. Because there were times when I had multiple HP up materia, and then I took one of the HP up away from my thing, and then it kept me at all nines.
Uh huh.
Okay, so whatever. There's no way I was ever going to figure it out if there's something.
There are accessories that break the limits on HP, MP, and AP.
Okay, well.
And that is certainly crucial to my gameplay, is that my health was up to, like, I don't know, 15, 16, 19,000, something like that. I reached a point where AP and MP were completely irrelevant, but HP was critical, because you start fighting bosses, well, or at least in the missions, where they're doing more than max damage.
Yikes. Wow. Yeah, there was no way I was ever going to discover that. Also, do you want to guess what my HP was before I did all those missions? Before I, like, really figured out Materia Fusion and did those missions? Because I got it up to the nines.
Yeah. I would say probably in, like, the 4,000, 5,000 range, because that's kind of where it seems to... like naturally sit if you're not augmenting it.
Yeah, it was really like 4,800, something like that. Yeah, it was right in that range. And I, like, there was a moment when I finished those missions and the HP was all the nines, and I was like, huh, I'm basically like two people now. It was really incredible. So ultimately defeated this. It took a little bit of time, but wasn't particularly difficult. I wasn't worried about like dying here. I didn't die a single time. It was just a lengthy fight was the gist of this one. Which was fine because, I don't know. There was a point in this fight where I was kind of like, I wish it was a little bit harder so I could die and then go change my materia to get like a ranged magical attack. Mm-hmm. But I never had to do that. So we just stayed at where we were. Great. Okay. Again, this is where I'm going to say I understood the fight. I understood what I was, you know, I understood how to beat the fight. I couldn't tell you why we were fighting this thing though. Genesis something. Infused with life streams. That just Mako? Is that, I mean, that's where we're going here. Genesis plus Mako equals this. And we're fighting it.
This is the G Regicide, I think, is what we're fighting now, which is like, okay.
Okay. I thought it said like Avatar, but I don't know. I have no idea.
It's also possible. I have no clue. There's a lot of Genesis battles.
Yeah. Because this isn't even the last one, because after this, we go and fight, we fight Genesis again.
Oh, Genesis Avatar. Okay, yes. You fight G Regicide after you set all the goddess materia. Maybe that's the beetle thing you were talking about before. Yeah. Yep. Then the Genesis Avatar, and then the Genesis boss.
And then we get the Genesis boss.
Yeah.
Which was the easiest of all of the Genesis fights.
Interesting. Okay.
Fighting actual Genesis. This was a joke. I mean, this was so easy. All you had to do was dodge like his one ability to do that. You get one hit, and then he tries to go again. You dodge that, and then you can crit him like every time for a million damage. True.
I mean, that was certainly my experience, but by that point I'd beaten every mission in the game, and the final mission that you beat is a boss that is far, 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 far harder than anything in the regular game. So by the time I got to the final boss fight, which was all I had left after a couple of weeks of doing missions, it was a cakewalk. I just laughed, like literally laughed out loud through the whole thing. I was like, this is a joke.
Well, I was just upset because this was easier than both of the last two fights. Like, that is not how the progression, it shouldn't be hardest, medium, and then easy. Like, that should not sure. be how the progression of final boss fights goes. And so this was very easy. I also have to say, Zed, I cannot even imagine the world where I wake up in the morning and you're like, you know what? I'm going to do 2 hours of missions today and that's going to be my day. Like, that I would destroy me emotionally. I don't know how you did that for weeks. It's really incredible. Okay, so we beat Genesis here. He keeps on monologuing. Also, he's not dead. And then begins a series of cutscenes that will be interrupted by a battle, and then we'll get to more cutscenes. Now, I do not have supreme confidence in myself to like fully explain every single cutscene, because it's very hard to like be constantly writing notes and then also watching the cutscenes as diligently as I would like to be. And so I have most of what's going on here, but feel free to you know, correct me or throw anything else in. After this fight with Genesis gets carried off by some unknown figures that I don't believe we ever actually see who, but they have a helicopter. That's what we know. Genesis is carried off, not dead, somehow, not dead. I say again, not dead. How?
I mean, is anyone in this game ever?
Yeah, somebody in this game is going to be dead. Somebody in this game.
I suppose that's true.
Genesis gets carried off. We then flash to my sexy boys, Reno and Rude, who are also in a helicopter, and they are being sent out. They're being sent out because we got to find the target, they say. We got to find the target that's what's going on. It is also, I believe, in this point where we learn that, I guess this was a little bit earlier. I have this slightly out of order, but we learn here, and then Reno and Rude also mention this, that Aerith has been writing letters to Zach. 89, to be specific.
Yeah.
89 letters.
Over four years. So we're talking over 20 letters a year, which means over 2 letters a month.
Correct.
Or like an average of more than 1 letter a month.
About a letter and a half a month.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Big
yikes, homie.
Every 20 days.
This is not okay.
She's writing a letter. Okay.
This is also where I learned that all of this happened over 4 years. I was very confused about the timeline. But I guess where the majority of that 4 years happened was while Zach and Cloud were in the basement lab at Shinra being experimented on. So it's not like we have played through 4 years of time. A lot of time passed that we were not a part of.
Okay. Admittedly, I kind of attributed it to weird, like, Mako energy, like down in the whatever type situation, like timey-wimey stuff, basically is where I was throwing this tube. But I didn't even put together that it was like 4 years in the test tube.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it doesn't even really matter just because Aerith is a little creepy here. This is too much, Zed. This is way too much. Especially because it continues for so long. Like, if this was like, okay, 1 year, you're sending a ton of letters because it's like still fresh. After the third year, you're still like every 20 days, you're like, I might as well write him.
And then you know exactly how many letters you wrote, but you're going to stop at 89.
Yeah. Oh, this was the other thing. I didn't write this down word for word, but she's like, Zach, this is my 89th letter and my final one. The flower
you don't
business,
want to hit 90?
The flower at business least? Is doing great. We're doing so good over here with the flowers. People love them. How many times throughout the 89 letters do you think that she identified the numerical count of letters that she had sent previously?
Was
this
just
like
time.
Every time? Zach, this is my 71st letter.
Yeah,
and not
maybe
my
they
last
don't arrive
one.
In order. So she wants him to know.
Secondary question. Why does Sung have 88 of them? Creepy. There's so much creepiness happening here.
Oh, I was, this is terrible for the podcasting, but I was making a very meaningful face at Adam that none of you could see. So there was just silence there, or it got skipped if you're on Overcast.
But I think that everyone had a very similar face, though.
All had a moment of like, no. Sung diverted all the letters. Obviously, none of them went anywhere. Not that they could have gotten to Zach really anyway, as he was on his various travels all over the place, being a needle in a haystack, as he has been referred to. Sung didn't need it's not good.
It's very weird.
It's all bad.
Very, very unfortunate. And then we get to another scene that we have seen previously in a different game. We get the showdown with Zach. We see Zach confronted by dozens and dozens and dozens, hundreds really, of Shinra troops right there at kind of the edge of Midgar-ish, like maybe walkable, whatever. You can like kind of see it in the distance. It's in the desert area there. And we get to fight in this. How exciting that we get to have some agency in this showdown. It's going to be so good. I'm going to love this so much. What a great final battle to end the game.
Combat mode activated.
Why?
Activating combat mode.
Why are we activating the combat mode? To what end?
I was baffled. I was like, no. We're in the final cutscenes now. I've put my
I'm done.
Yeah.
My keyboard was pushed away. I forget what I was actually doing at that time. I had poured myself a drink or something. I don't even know. Like, I was done. I was so ready. I was getting prepared for the D&D game that I was about to play because this was taking a million years. And I was like, I think I had a snack. I had some goldfish or whatever. I was like, I was so done with this. And they were like, combat mode. And I was like, huh? What do you mean? And so I like had to struggle to go get that back. Turns out it didn't even really matter.
Yeah.
At all for this fight. For a lot of reasons. Number one, I just love when there's a bunch of range damage that I can do absolutely nothing about. Can't even target those helicopters. Not that I would have anything to target them with if I like wanted to, but I like there was nothing there. Also just endless Shinra troops. That felt really good last night. That was a great little reminder of all of the wonderful things that I got to experience last night. Another situation where there were just endless Shinra troops pouring out at me that I had to go attack. Mm-hmm. Third, I got hit by all of those explosives. And it like knocked me out and I couldn't die anyway. So there you go. I don't think you could die during this little situation, because if you could, I did. And I didn't, so I don't think you could, which is, I guess, just great game mechanics there. Really love to see a final boss fight where you can't die. It does remind me a little bit of original Final Fantasy VII, right? I don't think you could die against Sephiroth. That just let you use the straight limit break. That was a little different here, though, because they let me, for multiple minutes, think that this was an important fight, that I had some kind of agency in, where I just kept attacking and attacking and attacking. And it was very frustrating.
Very. Yeah, and I was a little curious as well, given the ambiguous ending of Remake, if that was going to be impacted at all in the remaster of Crisis Core. Now, I didn't think so, but there was like a small part of me that was like, maybe this will be different.
Well, this happened after Remake, right? Like, this was released after Remake. Is that the correct timeline?
Yeah, this was released this year.
Okay. Oh, wow. This, okay. I thought it was a couple years ago. So there we go. This was released this year. So, we already saw what happened at the end of Remake with this scene, but we kept going. Now, this is where I will say one of the cooler elements of this fight was the slot machine slowly starting to break. I actually really did enjoy that, because as we kept going through this fight, now it lasted way too long. This fight lasted way too long. But as we went through, we kept seeing the pictures of our allies. We saw Geo, there was a Cloud, a Cisne was there, all kinds of, all the people that we had been putting in our slot machine. They slowly began to break and fall apart. And so we kind of were struggling even more. And then finally we got the one with Aerith at the very end. And we got to see all the cutscenes and the flashbacks and even kind of a live shot to Aerith here. As the battle begins to slow, we get to a black screen. We hear gunshots. We come back out. We're still alive for some reason. It is a 1v3 now with our slot machine not even pretending to work whatsoever. We're dragging our sword. It's limp. We're going kind of emotional. The music is not appropriate during this scene. I'm just going to say that right now. I'm a big music guy, and this was a terrible song choice for this particular portion, the slow battle. And then we cut to Aerith as we hear the gunshots. Aerith is like, and then we fade out from Aerith through the eyes of Zach. And he's on the ground, bleeding out. It's not looking good.
It's very dramatic.
Very dramatic. The song choice changes. I did like the secondary change here. So much of my notes is just music. Cloud walks over. He's limping, struggling to get there. Goes over to Zach. Zach's instinctive first move is to shove Cloud's face in his blood as he pulls him down.
Yeah, you know.
Cloud pulls up, has a bloody face. That's really unfortunate and disgusting there. And then Zach is like, Cloud, you have to live for the both of us.
My living legacy.
Zach pulls up the sword. Cloud takes it. It's very heavy for Cloud. He struggles with the size and the weight of the sword, but he carries it off.
He's been half conscious for the entirety
he's been struggling.
The entirety
yeah, he's
of
struggling.
The last 4 years.
Yeah, he's really kind of pathetic if you think about it. And Cloud has the giant sword, and we lose Zach. We say goodnight. And we, of course, we get one more hero line, because why not? We have to have a hero line. And then we flash to back in the city of Midgar, where we get the just glorious entrance of Final Fantasy VII Remake. Dun, 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 with the train as it goes towards the city. Dun, 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 dun. And that, my dear Brooklyn Zed, and dear listeners, is the end of Crisis Core Reunion.
Indeed it is. we are quite far into our podcast here, but we still have some more things to chat about. So we're going to take a quick break after all of that recap, and we will be right back. Okay, and we are back to wrap things up here with some predictions, with some facts, with some numbers. What do you got for me, Adam?
Okay, so, well, did you want to change either of your predictions for the time played or missions completed?
I think I'm going to stick with 20% for missions completed, even though I am shocked that you did the 1,000 troopers. I think that will honestly have decreased the number of total missions that you did because you spent so much time on it, and because that's going to accomplish a lot of what you are trying to do in playing the missions by leveling up your materia and Zach himself. So I think 20% is still maybe optimistic. Let's see. I said 25 hours before. Well, now knowing that I was at 27 hours when I got to chapter 10, but I had already done a lot of missions at that point. Gosh, even with your extra hour plus of the 1,000 Shinra troops. All right, I'm going to say the whole game took you as long as it took me to get to chapter 10. Let's say 27 hours.
The total time... I'll start with the missions. Okay. 17% is where I'm
all right.
At.
I said close. 20% was probably a little optimistic.
Yeah, you're right there. You're right there. Unfortunately, you're kind of way off in terms of the hours.
Really?
I played the game for a total of 18 hours and 22 minutes.
Wow.
There we go.
That is incredible.
And it's very unfortunate that more than 5% of that was just the one mission. That like feels really bad.
I'm so glad you pointed that out, because I would not have thought of that.
Yeah, more like, than
just 5% how significant that is in such a short playtime to have spent over an hour on that one mission. Yeah. Oh boy, wow.
Honestly, my guess overall is that probably 4 hours or so, maybe four and a half, was like total of missions, which is not a crazy number considering like how many missions there are available, but it is a crazy number considering how much other portion of the game there is that was not missions. So, you know, 18 hours, 22 minutes. I feel pretty good about that number, actually.
30 hours less than I spent playing this game.
Like, I feel pretty good about that number, all things considered, to be honest with you, Zed. Like, I feel, you know, you're saying like 27, 48 for you totally completed the whole thing. If I had to play 30 more hours of missions, I just would not have done it.
It's not a good choice. I don't recommend it for anybody.
Never would have happened. And okay, I have two more things for you as we finish off, unless you have anything else here for the Crisis Core pod. We'll talk about the future in just a second. I do have the updated final attractiveness rankings.
Oh boy. Okay. Let me say real quick before I get tweets. Technically, this game came out in December of 2022. So not this year, technically, but within the last 6 months.
Okay.
So
if literally one person was going to tweet sad about that, come on, get a life.
Somebody was.
There's no
one
way.
One of two people who shall remain nameless would have corrected me.
No, don't.
You know who you are.
There's just no reason to do that. There's no reason. Oh my God.
I also would be remiss if I did not shout out Mike, Alex, and Kate for collectively financing the purchase of Crisis Core for me so that I could stream it, so that they could watch me suffer for 48 hours.
Is there a word for when you pay someone to suffer for you? Is there a word for that?
Listen, we all had a good time. I'm very grateful to them for doing so. Nobody made me do all of those missions. I did it myself. Mm-hmm. And it was thanks to Mike, with also some help from our friend EPLP34, aka Josh, not that Josh, that I was able to complete my platinum trophy in a single playthrough of the game, because in no world was that happening without significant pointers from Mike saying, make sure you do this before you leave this place or you will not be able to access this thing. So lots of thanks due to a lot of folks over in the Hard Rock Hope Twitch community.
Wow. What a great place. What a great time. It's always weird because I try to have it on in the background, even though I can't watch what's actually happening, because it's just literal spoilers. Yes. So, you know. Okay, two more things for you, Zed. The first, of course, the final attractiveness rankings.
Mm-hmm.
How exciting we have here. Might be a controversial choice for some of these options here. Starting number 5.
I'm waiting for Rude to have popped right back to the top because he's here.
Number 5, we have Tifa. Still on the list. Did not really make an appearance at the end here, but I really did like Tifa. Loved the cowgirl aesthetic. We need more of that in our lives, Ed. That we just need more. Number 4, Cisne, who did make a reappearance today. I still don't really know if she's an ally or an enemy or whatever. She works for Shinra, who she's loyal to. It doesn't really matter. She kind of joined our fight and helped us quite a bit in recent chapters, and she was here today. So there you go. Welcome, Cisne. Number 3. Cloud makes the list. Really only because of the ending sequence where Cloud looked really good. We get you know, much closer to the Cloud of Remake and away from this Cloud of Crisis Core. The hair is looking a lot better. There's a lot more going on here. Plus, he gets the sword. It's a big moment for Cloud. This is big. His friend? Are they friends, really? I don't even know. Not
Cloud
really.
And Zach?
Yeah, I mean, like, they're kind of friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just met. Well, I guess they met 4 years ago, but whatever.
Cloud looked up to Zach.
Yeah.
Zach, like, took it. It's a little bit of a mentor-mentee situation. Not that Zach's really in a position to mentor anybody.
Yeah. It's more of, like, an identity theft situation, but, you know.
Not yet, it's not.
Well, I don't know. Number 2. As predicted, Rude, back on the list at number 2. What a man to bring out here. And then
man, what a man, what a mighty good man.
Mighty, mighty good. Okay.
Okay, number I was like, one. If you're not going to back me up on no, this, Adam, I'm going to be upset.
Always. Come on. Number one, controversially, after some suspicious behavior this chapter, number one on the list, Aerith.
Okay, yeah.
Congratulations. Yeah. Not because of the letters. Just going to put that out there. Not because of the letters.
In spite of the letters,
in spite of the letters, we saw the flashbacks. I really liked it. It seemed like they were connected pretty heavily. Aerith like seemed to get that sense once Zach was ultimately going to die. We also saw flashbacks to her. She's like living her best life in the flower cart stand. Maybe when you're like barely seeing someone and they leave for 4 years, maybe you get over them a little bit faster. But overall, really, really still love Aerith. So there you go. Final list of Crisis Core reunion, maybe, unless we change this. Aerith, Rude, Cloud, Cisne, Tifa. Those are the five.
I have a little bit of this narrative in my head about Aerith because of how we see her in Remake. And we've talked about this, that, you know, she's like this rich white girl who's like, because I'm so generous, is a line that has stuck with me for, you know, 2 years at this point.
Yep.
But that girl is like, oh, gosh, he must miss me so much. So let me send him these letters wherever he is out there doing his soldier business. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think we're at a point where I don't know that Zach would have ever said they were in a relationship. But Aerith is like, this was my first boyfriend. He was a soldier. And he, you know, obviously she's such a catch. She's like, you know, the flower cart really is helping me, Zach. Thank you so much for that flower
business
cart.
Business is booming, Zed. Business is doing so good for her. Do you not think Aerith is a catch?
Oh, sure, in her own way, but I do think that, like, I don't know, I think she maybe has a little bit of a like lack of self-awareness of like herself in the world sometimes, at least in the way the dialogue is written in Remake specifically.
Yeah.
And I think you can see those things kind of tying together here at the end of Crisis Core.
I do think that she has a little bit of that lack of self-awareness, but also like we see her history, right, of like how she grew up and like the different influences that people have had on her in that like early childhood stage. So I don't know. I would certainly date Aerith before Zach, like without question, or even Cloud.
Yeah.
I would take a lack of awareness over a lack of personality every day of the week. So, you know,
helping poor people is so fun. I love doing it.
I would so much prefer that to why would we help the poor people? You
yeah,
know?
At least but she's helping the poor people.
At least
sure.
She's like doing something, even though like it's very.
We can talk about why. We can think about our approach. That comes with time in a relationship.
Yes, there's a conversation we had there for sure. Okay, Zed, the final thing that I thought we would do here on the Crisis Core pod before we get out of here, and we could do this whenever order you want. I would like to do a dramatic reading of Loveless.
Oh boy, okay.
I feel like that's really the only way that we can go out here in really and truly representing Genesis and the story of Crisis Core as best we can.
That we definitely fully understand.
That we definitely fully understand. We might even have more understanding of it after it's written, read. I don't know. But I just feel like there's not another way to go out. So I do have it pulled up here, the story of Loveless.
Okay.
If there's anything else you'd like to do or say before we have this very dramatic reading.
No, please go ahead. We'll get to the, you know, podcast business and what's happening next at the end. But Adam is taking a moment to prepare himself. Oh boy, he's readjusting his mic. He's breathing. He's centering. He's getting ready. Strap yourselves in, everybody. What a treat.
And without any further ado, here is Loveless. When the War of the Beasts brings about the world's end, the goddess descends from the sky. Wings of light and dark spread afar. She guides us to bliss, her gift everlasting. Infinite in mystery is the gift of the goddess. We seek it thus and take to the sky. Ripples form on the water's surface. The wandering soul knows no rest. Three friends go into battle. One is captured, one flies away. The one that is left becomes a hero. Dreams of the morrow hath the shattered soul. Pride is lost, wings stripped away. The end is nigh. There is no hate, only joy. For you are beloved by the goddess, hero of the dawn, healer of worlds. My friend, do you fly away now to a world that abhors you and I? All that awaits you is a somber morrow, no matter where the winds may blow. My soul, corrupted by vengeance, hath endured torment to find the end of the journey in my own salvation and your eternal slumber. My friend, the fates are cruel. There are no dreams, no honor remains. The arrow has left the bow of the goddess. My friend, your desire is the bringer of life, the gift of the goddess. Legend shall speak of sacrifice at world's end. The wind sails over the water's surface quietly, but surely. Even if the morrow is barren of promises, nothing shall forestall my return to become the dew that quenches the land, to spare the sands, the seas, the skies. I offer thee this silent sacrifice.
I don't know. I thought about underscoring that whole reading, but then because I don't know how long it was going to be, I didn't want to commit to that bit. I was very nervous that I was going to have to do a trumpet for a really long time.
It's so long, Zed. There's five acts and a prologue.
Yeah, there are.
Oh my gosh.
On all those little headstones down in the Lake of Oblivion or whatever.
Yeah. Do you feel like we have a better understanding of Crisis Core now that we have read all of that? I heard honor and dreams a lot. There was a goddess. There's a lot of flying around. The word morrow is said a lot. A lot of things are happening on the morrow. There you go. There's Loveless.
I just thought we should have a nice dramatic reading.
Yeah. Good podcasting is happening here. You know, so we love to see it.
Really quality content here for you on the Final Fantasy podcast on post-show recaps. We may not understand the story of the game we just played, but where else are you getting a dramatic reading of Loveless? Nowhere!
Nuh-uh. No one else is doing this. We're revolutionizing the game.
That's right. That's absolutely right. All right. We are coming to a close here on this episode of the podcast. However, we are not quite finished. I do have it on fairly good authority that you will probably be seeing a Josh Wiggler here in your Final Fantasy feed fairly soon. So keep an eye out for that. And additionally, we are going to be back next week one more time talking about Final Fantasy's Crisis Core reunion with the frequently mentioned Mike Edwards, the man who got me through this game when I otherwise certainly would not have made it. He played it in 2007. We'll go through his whole story with the game on the original PSP PlayStation Portable version. And then he'll explain the story to us because he's the only person I've ever met who actually understands what's happening in this game. So if you're still a little confused about everything going on, Mike's going to help clarify some things for us next week and wrap up our coverage of Crisis Core. So don't unsubscribe just yet. I mean, don't unsubscribe at all. I don't know why you would. The Final Fantasy feed just keeps going. Forever and ever. Amen. Okay, we'll have one more week of Crisis Core for you next week. Adam, what else do you have going on?
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter, PianoManAdam1. We're talking through Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist over on One Undescribable Podcast. We're into season two, so that's a ton of fun over there. That's at 1CXG Podcast on Twitter, so go check that out. In the post-show recaps lane, I'm talking about Doctor Who with Kevin Mahadeo and Melissa Woodward. We're in a great stretch there. We just had the amazing Taylor on as a guest while Melissa is off and away. And so very, very, very fun stuff happening over there. I am also talking about How I Met Your Father season two with the amazing Sarah Ferguson. we're going to be picking up this next week because season two is coming back for the second half. So that's very fun. I'm also talking about the new show Platonic with Sarah Ferguson. So that is going to be coming out very, very soon as well. And then there may or may not be something in the works just after that. So always go check out stuff there. And you can find everything I'm doing also on Twitter. I'll just retweet everything. But this has been fun. What a fun time here.
Yeah. Do you regret your life choices, or are you glad we did it?
Like I said at the very beginning of the podcast, I do not understand what's happening with the game. I don't think that it's a very good game, but I do think that this has been a good podcast. So there you go. That's my final ruling.
Yeah. I meant to say earlier, and then it left my head, that I do think part of the struggle with this game is that the fights are largely not connected to the story, and they're structurally set up to be differentiated in this activating combat mode mechanism that they've set up. And then at the end of the game, for instance, you get, I think it's pretty close to 30 minutes of cutscene at the end. And yeah, you're like technically fighting, but not actually impacting anything there at the end. But a lot of the story of the game happens in big, long cutscenes that you are not actively interacting with. And then you're doing all this combat that feels pretty disengaged from the heart of the story, which I think can also make it hard to follow the story when you're sort of passively receiving it. But we'll talk it through with Mike next week. I know he loves this game and we'll have a lot of things to say that I expect you'll disagree with, but you know, that's okay.
I'm very excited. To be honest with you, I'm like very excited to have him on and to hear things that like I didn't understand. You know, didn't understand. I've been very open about like the majority of my playthrough of just like, I might not be the right person to understand all of this. I'm like trying to, and I am genuinely excited to talk to someone who understands the story and is excited to talk about it. So very excited to have Mike on next week. It should be a fun time.
Yeah, that is what we do here on the Final Fantasy podcast, where usually I am the one playing something for the first time and not knowing what's going on. And that was still really the case this time. I played it before you did, Adam, but it was also my first playthrough and done over many, many, many weeks in a not specifically for podcast consumption manner. So hopefully Mike will be able to help everybody out who has been following along, listening. Thank you all for that, by the way. Nothing else going on for me really right now. If you missed it, I was on the Succession podcast last week, doing the wrap up for week 7 of the final season of Succession. So you can check that out over in the Succession feed here at Post Show Recaps. Chat with us in the Discord. The Survivor season's wrapping up and there's a lot of chatter going on around that here at patreon.com/postshowrecaps to get in on that conversation, as well as all of our video game content and all of the TV shows that Adam is talking about, of which there are many. You can follow me at Hard Rock Hope on Twitter and twitch.tv/HardRockHope for my Final Fantasy X exploits. That's it. Keep an eye out for that elusive Josh Wiggler here in your Final Fantasy feed, and we will see you next week along with our special guest Mike. Take care, everybody. Honor your dreams. Bye-bye.